Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we are talking about competencies over coffee.
Welcome to our Skills of the Future podcast. Our theme for this series is competencies over coffee. My name is Dan Vanderwerf. I'm principal consultant and co-founder at Perennial Talent. In this episode, I'll be talking to Amanda Frawley about all things competencies. Amanda is the head of people and culture at Logiwa Technology Inc., a company of around 120 employees. She has a background in business psychology and a senior professional in human resources certification, which makes her a double threat in the people world. Amanda is in the process of rolling out behavioral competencies at Logiwa, so this topic is top of mind for her. Amanda, welcome to our podcast. I'm so happy to have you on today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So I usually like to start these episodes with a fun little icebreaker question just to get the conversation juices flowing. So can you tell us about the best thing that you have watched or read lately?
Okay, that's a great question. So I don't know if I would say best thing, but it's definitely a thing that I've watched lately that I have not been able to get out of my head. The Boy. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I have not, no.
So this is on Netflix. So this girl gets a nanny job in like a remote estate in England, as one does, apparently. So she's supposed to be nannying this little boy while his parents are away for a few months, except she gets there and the boy is actually just a doll, like a creepy mannequin boy doll. But everybody is pretending like no one is acknowledging that he's not real, that he's a doll. So of course, you know, they leave her alone with this thing. And of course she doesn't leave like I think most people would do. And of course, terror ensues. So a ridiculous B movie, but I have to say this has kind of lived rent-free in my brain for the last couple of days.
Awesome. Well, I'll have to check that one out. That's kind of one of the secret reasons why I ask this at the start is just to get my Netflix list and my reading list in better shape. So thank you for that addition. So switching gears now to the more competency-focused questions. Can you tell me about some of the challenges that you've seen when it comes to defining and then using competencies for talent management purposes?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first kind of embarked on the journey of building competencies, so I basically had like a general idea of what I wanted to do with them. Like I really wanted them to be first and foremost a professional development tool. So I remember having them when I worked at a larger company early in my career, and I always felt like they were really one of the best, like most helpful tools in my professional development. So I knew what I wanted to achieve with them, but the challenge kind of came with like how specifically to define them. So there's a few ways you can do it. So for example, I needed to think about like, do I want to have specific competencies just for leadership? Do I want to have specific competencies per job or per job group? I also struggled with actually what to call them because behavioral competencies sounds a little HR. So I wasn't sure if that was going to catch on. So those were kind of my first challenges. Where I ended up landing, I decided to start with general competencies. So since this is going to be the first time Logiwa has really seen anything like this, I just wanted to make sure that it was something simple and universal. So just something that all of my employees could understand and would be able to kind of get used to quickly. And then after trying out a few titles, I did end up sticking with behavioral competencies as like the definition, but the overall program title is How to Be the Best Logiwan You Can Be. And I framed this up as like how to achieve excellence at Logiwa. So this made it a little bit more catchy and a little less HR. So then my last, I guess, big challenge that I would say is I needed to figure out how to actually roll them out and introduce them to the company. So I wrote them out in a really comprehensive way. So I had this great looking document, you know, branded, colored, all of the, like I said, how to be the best Logiwan, very, very inspiring doc, but it's still a doc. So who's going to read it? You know what I mean? So I had to think about like the best way to introduce this. So I did decide early on that I wanted to have employees write like a self-review using the competencies to identify what they believe are their strongest competencies and where they could use improvement. That way we can introduce them and apply them at the same time. So this was really important to me because the Logiwa team, as I mentioned, hasn't done a formal performance review. We haven't done a lot of formal like performance things at Ladua. So a lot of our development practices are still relatively informal. So I wanted to use this to introduce like a formal-ish review that isn't like for any points, so to speak. So purely developmental, but kind of getting used to doing something like this. So where I landed with all of this is I ended up running a workshop where we talk through each competency. So yes, people could have just read the list and then they would have known what they are, but we took the time to kind of get together. We talked through each one. I did these by team. So it's about 10 to 12 people per session. So enough time or enough room for people to talk. So what we did is we went through each competency and then we stopped and I asked employees to share an experience where they used each competency. So I would say, okay, this is problem solving. This is what it is. Now, who wants to share an example of when they use this competency to problem solve? It was very cool because a lot of the more tenured people had like some high scope examples to share. And then some of the newer people were sharing examples literally from their time when they were in school. So I feel like it got everybody participating, but kind of showing like the wide array of different levels that these would still apply in your career. So overall, I would say that was kind of the challenges and how we approach those.
Cool. That's awesome. A lot of good stuff in there. I love the challenge that you brought up about what to call these things, because that's a struggle that a lot of people have. Like some call them competencies or skills or capabilities, or like there's so many words you can use. And I think at the end of the day, as long as you find something that resonates internally, it doesn't matter too much what it's called, as long as people are kind of on the same page and understand what these things are, regardless of what they're called. So that's super cool. Also, your rollout sessions sound really cool, how you kind of walk people through each competency and then could kind of have that variety of examples of how the competency might apply to a more junior level role and how it might also apply to a more senior level role. That's very cool.
Thank you.
So what workforce challenges or opportunities are you primarily using competencies to address?
Yeah, so I think the biggest driver for like wanting to roll these out is really professional development. So I think now more than ever, companies really need to be investing into the development of their employees. So not only is it, you know, the right thing to do, and it's a great way to engage and retain top talent, but I also think that like from a practical perspective, empowering and upskilling our talent can drive huge productivity and strong results for the company. So it's just a great investment. And another thing for us, so Ladua is, I would say, a very performance-driven organization. So I think we've done a great job over the past year building out like KPIs for different roles and then tying our quarterly bonuses to performance. We are pretty bonus-driven here, which I think is really great. But of course, you know, that begs the question, how do we measure the non-measurable? How do we reward the performance of someone who's maybe, you know, doing all the right things, has the right attitude, is bringing value to the organization in other ways, but maybe they're not hitting their KPIs? Because no matter how good your KPIs are, they're never going to be perfect. They're never going to truly encapsulate like every single facet of a job. Yep. So that's really why we wanted to do these. So the competencies help cover the gray areas. So like, this person may not have hit their performance targets in a certain area, but they did demonstrate excellence in the following competencies. So that's really the challenge we were trying to solve. And I think we're on a good track to being able to solve that now that we've kind of rolled these out.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And yeah, I usually say like your KPIs or goals or objectives are what people need to be doing. And then the competencies are how they go about doing that. And both pieces, as you say, are critical to good performance. Because you could imagine someone that's reaching all of their KPIs, but maybe they're not a good team player, or maybe there's some conflict or some communication issues. So then that's like, that's not really the type of performer that you want to reward. And on the flip side, if someone is like a really good team player and has a lot of customer focus and all of that, but they're not getting anywhere close to their KPIs, and that's also not a great performer. So you really need that balance to capture both the what and the how. So I think having that mix of KPIs and competencies allows you to kind of have that full view of the job. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I think, you know, you made a good call out as well. Like there are times where you may have someone that's hitting all of their KPIs, but they're not necessarily a great team player as the example. And, you know, that person might get frustrated when they're trying to move up in the company and they're being told like, hey, I'm hitting all my KPIs. Like, why am I not seeing advancement? It's like, well, because they haven't been given the right feedback of like, here's the behaviors that they should be demonstrating. So to them, if you just give me black and white KPIs and I just hit those KPIs, what am I doing wrong? Like,
exactly.
What else do I need to be doing? So I think this is a great solution for that.
Yep, absolutely. So what competencies do you think are most important right now for successful organizational and individual performance?
Okay. So I think from an organizational perspective, one that really stands out to me that we have is being resilient and adaptable. So as you know, Lajua, we're a very fast growing startup. We're definitely in our hyper growth phase. So we're hiring like crazy. Our jobs are changing all the time. The scope of the work that people are doing is changing all the time. So people do have to be comfortable working with a bit of ambiguity, kind of a lot of ambiguity, honestly. Mm-hmm. And they have to be kind of have the right mindset for when things change, which they often do. So having an employee who can demonstrate resilience and adaptability is very key. And then from a personal standpoint, I think a big one is what we call demonstrating courage to confront challenging situations. So I think, as we know, giving feedback is just inherently uncomfortable. Telling someone that they're wrong is uncomfortable. Challenging a leader, saying no to a customer, pushing back on another team. Like these are all very uncomfortable things, but we do have to be able to do them. So we have to be comfortable having conversations that might put us into a place of a little bit of personal risk. So we have really talked about like how to demonstrate courage and have these tough conversations. Like you don't need to necessarily get over the fact that it's uncomfortable. You just have to be willing to put yourself in a situation where you may have to do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, those are great call outs. So my next question, we've touched on it a little bit of what can go wrong if you don't include the competency side when you're looking at performance. But I like to take kind of a broader step back and ask you, what are the future threats or pain points if organizations don't take the time to clearly define the skills or competencies that are needed for successful performance?
Oh, this is a good question. I love this question. So I think for companies that don't use competencies, and I've been at companies that don't, I think one of the big threats is that developmental feedback to employees can just end up being very vague and therefore not very actionable. So sometimes I think managers struggle to put into words what an employee is struggling with or doing wrong. Mm-hmm. So having competencies kind of gives them the tools to be able to do this kind of in a shared language that the employee will understand. Because I can't tell you how much vague feedback I've gotten in the past that like I couldn't really use, or it was like overly specific on something that maybe wasn't super important. So I think that if my manager had like a framework for how to incorporate it, that probably could have become much more actionable. But yeah, I mean, if you've got your company is growing, you've got 25 managers and you're telling them to give them feedback to their employees and they don't really know how, that feedback can range. You don't really have a lot of control over what that feedback is. So I think this really helps with that.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. I love your point about that it creates a shared language. Because you can imagine a scenario, like let's say you and I work for the same manager and they say, Dan, you need to be a better team player. And I'm like, oh, that probably means I need to talk more in meetings and share my thoughts more. And then they say, Amanda, I need you to be a better team player. And you're like, oh, maybe that means I need to not talk as much in meetings and kind of let other people have the floor. Like we might have a completely different understanding of what being a good team player is. So if you have a behavioral competency that makes it crystal clear, like, hey, here are the behaviors that are articulate what a good team player looks like in this organization, then all of us are on exactly the same page, which makes, as you say, all of those developmental conversations so much more specific and actionable and useful.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. All right. So my last question for you, because we have folks out there who are probably just starting or thinking about starting their competency journeys. So if you have any advice for other HR professionals out there who might be looking to define successful performance using competencies and then apply them to some of their talent management practices.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest advice is really just to just do it, which I know sounds very general. But it's surprising to me how many companies don't have them. And I'm willing to bet like it's probably because they feel like it's sort of daunting to create them. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of great, like free accessible information out there on how to create them. Like you don't have to create, you know, your own unique ones. Like there's a lot of good general templates that you can follow. And once you do, like once you are able to take that jump and do them, I think the other very important thing is to make sure that you are really making an effort to weave them into everyday practices. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be something that you send out the document and you're like, hey, these are the competencies, these are really great. And then follow up again. Cause I've heard some people say that like, yeah, my company has them, but I kind of forgot like mm-hmm. somewhere in our intranet or something like that. So, I mean, like, I think incorporating them into your quarterly performance check-ins, using them in like daily lingo, adding them into management trainings, like, mm-hmm. I think all of that can just be ways to like, keep using that language, keep driving it home. And I think that can kind of lead to some success.
Yes, absolutely. So your first point, like just start somewhere. And even if it's kind of doing it in a smaller way, so maybe just starting with, you know, let's implement some core competencies, maybe like two or three core things that we want everyone to have. Let's start there. Or even just starting with a smaller pilot group just to see if it's something that can work here. And then to your point, like start using them right away. So they're not just something that's going to sit on a binder on a shelf somewhere that no one's going to actually use. Let's start using them for hiring or L&D or any of those fun talent applications.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So that was my last question for you. Was there anything else you wanted to share, either about your past experience or any last tidbits of advice for anyone else out there?
No, I really think, as we said, like just start somewhere. I think that it's got great, like there's just a lot that you can get out of this. So I think it's really important. And yeah, that's kind of all I have to share.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing all of your insights into using competencies. And thanks so much for being a guest on our podcast today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.